Now, I want to welcome you to our Sunday at 11. All right, are you excited? Now, we are starting a new series, okay, this November. November will be a time that we talk about finances, stewardship, and all those, all right? So, the new series is entitled Unlimited. Say with me, Unlimited. Yes, all right. It's the new finance series that we are looking at. And we're going to explore, okay, some passages from 1 Kings and 2 Kings. Let me ask you, what men fear the most? Oh, very quiet. I hope you're saying something like, my wife. Okay. Right. Now, some of the things that happen in life is whatever conversation that you talk about, somehow, somewhere, it will always be the topic of finance. Okay? Topic of finance, which means finance might be a big word, but the layman term is money. Say money. Okay, because sometimes in church, just to mention the word money can be very sensitive. But it's a topic that we're going to talk about, finances, all right? Now, this series is not about how you can make investment in this stock, this share. No, it's not about that. We're going to look at Bible principles, some of the things that God showed us, all right, that He is truly, okay, our provider and not anything else, all right? So, some of the topic that probably you talk about, that challenges that you have, fear that you have, is like, should I buy? Should I not buy? Should I invest? Should I not invest? Should I give or should I save? Should I spend or not? All right. So all those thoughts will always cross through, okay, your mind. Now, just a few days ago, I read an article, the difference between baby boomers and the millennials. You know what are baby boomers? They are not that young anymore. They are no longer baby. Baby boomers are majority, okay? How old now? 50 plus, 60 plus, that kind of, okay? Baby boomers are even older than that. And this article was writing about what are the differences. Okay, I just pick up one. It just caught my mind and it caught my attention about baby boomers and millennials, all right? As far as finance concerned. Okay, now, in this, I just take a photo of that. That says that baby boomers financial plan. Everybody has financial plan? No? Okay. You can see me. I will pray for you. Okay. Okay. Now, if this article says this, that baby boomers, you identify yourself. All right. Baby boomers will do this. You have all the income. I will keep for saving. Whatever left, I will spend. All right. If all go for saving, then I'm not going to spend anything. All right. Millennials will be like this. His financial plan is, all the income that I have, I'm going to spend, I'm going to buy, I'm going to spend. Whatever left, then I save. Which are you? Now, both has its own challenges. All right, baby boomers will keep, and never do something about it. All right? Early days when I was studying USM and we exam, all those Simon and all those. Some of seniors say, wow, we have worked so hard. Let's go and treat ourselves. Right? So all of us will go to a nice place, spend a bit more money, right, and treat ourselves. Now, sometimes when you are a millennial financial plan, every new thing you want to buy, buy a new handphone. Then your friend say, I thought you buy one last week. Now you buy another one again. So they will just spend, all right? The last thing they will do, that is to save. Now, last week in our USM postgraduate life group, all right, I'm leading that group right now. We have PhD students and all those. So we were reflecting on the message we had last week, okay, where Pastor Balan, okay, with us. So some of the things that we talk about, okay, what will be one significant thing that you know the difference between non-millennials and millennials? So I was just thinking for a while, I said, yeah, there's one that is quite obvious, that is for non-millennials. How many non-millennials here? Okay, that is, if you're having a current job and you want to get a new job, you make sure that the new job is secure. That means you receive a letter offer before you resign your current one, correct? Then you get a new job, then you send your resignation, bye-bye, then you start a new job, it's secure. Okay, this is non-millennial. Millennial doesn't care. Whether got job, no job, I don't like this job, I resign. And I can sit down for 3 months, 6 months, 1 year while waiting for another new job. True or not? Okay, you look a bit stunned. Okay, now, anyway. Now, let me say this. Whatever it is that is finances or money will always be the life test for every one of us. And all of us are not exempted. Because this life test, okay, will test your character, your attitude, and the way you honor God and how you honor other people. As a Christian, all the more, I guarantee you, you will be tested, okay, in the issue of money, which means we can never run away from being tested. How many of you like to be tested? Oh, nobody. Okay, one. Okay, all right. Only one. Okay. Now, testing is good. Why? How many of you would like to drink something and they say not tested? They offer you something not tested is for you. Will you want to drink? Of course not, right? You want it to be tested. If you want this to be tested, all of us need to be tested, because when you are tested, your boss knows who you are and he trusts you. When he trusts you, he will give you more and you will be promoted. Bonus is coming. All right. See, wow, this one. I really trust this worker. I really trust this employee. All right. So it's good, okay, to be tested. So finances will come to a place where it will challenge your attitude, character, and all those, because the moment, okay, when you are tested of financial or finances or money, your true color will surface. Do you know that many friendships turn sour just because of money? Yes. All right. So watch out for that now. Money, although it's neutral, but the greed that one has is very real. So when money is concerned, all right. Now, think about Jesus. Jesus, when he was in the 40 days temptation, you know, summing up, there are three major temptations. And all these three major temptations, I can sum it with three P, which are possession, prestige, and power. Yeah, all right. All of us will be challenged by that, will be tempted by that, but Jesus overcame all of them. Okay, all the more, okay, we got to follow Jesus. Have you heard the quotation says, money is a great servant, but a bad master? Yes. Money is a great servant, but a bad master. Money is a great servant if you are a good master. But in normal cases, it's always the other way, okay? Which is, money is a great servant, but a bad master. Now, look at this scripture. Luke 16:13 says this. No servant can serve two masters, or either he will hate the one or love the other. Or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. It's either one, all right? Earlier we were talking about some of us maybe work for a company which has two bosses, right? You report to boss A and boss B, yes? And then maybe the third boss is boss Sini, all right now. So you either have to hear the boss A and boss B, all right? Now, real situation, I talked to one before, actually one of you here, okay, long time ago. So she works for this company, you have boss A and boss B. Boss A will ask you to do A. Boss B will ask you to do B, all right? Boss A don't like you to do B, and B don't like you to do A. And you report to these two bosses. How will you work? Very tough. You want to hear the second part of the story? Those two bosses, husband and wife. When they quarrel, boss A will tell you to tell B, all right? B will tell you and to tell A. Wow, how to work like this, all right? But when they are two are okay, they will attack you, okay? Watch out, all right? Watch out. Okay, now, so we can either serve Jesus or money. Now, in the Bible, when they talk about serve God and money, another version is God or mammon. Now, in Jesus' time, mammon is an idol. It's a god, all right? So it's either you serve Jesus, you worship Jesus, or you serve the other God. Now, we know, right, in Penang or Malaysia, in almost every Chinese shop, there's one kind of God, okay, that they worship, okay, the God, okay, to bring in prosperity and so on. Now, look out another scripture, Luke 12, verse 15. Then he said to them, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possession. Luke was challenging him. Luke was writing, okay, Jesus was saying, okay, watch out, okay, and be on guard. Look at your neighbor and write, watch out, watch out. Now, do you know, there are so many people are trapped in the get-quick-rich scheme. And the story has been going round and around and around. And people still fall in the trap because when this schemer comes, they are so good and making this so real that you're going to have 100% return. And with that investment that you make, if you continue to make investment, you have a chance to stand to win the brand new Mercedes-Benz with the latest technology, okay, super hybrid, whatever technology, all right? So the more you invest, the more chances you're going to get. So put our money up, put. Next month, you went back, where's the company? Cannot be contacted and it's gone. And yet, many fall into that trap. Why? Greed. All of us, I was saying, all of us are not exempted, right? Now, how to know whether you are more, which one you are more to, right? Now, let's say, I'm going to call for a prayer meeting. I said, tomorrow, pastor is going to call for a prayer meeting. We're going to pray for Bangladesh. We're going to pray for China. Persecution that's happening there. We're going to pray for Nepal. We're going to pray for Vietnam. We're going to pray for India. Okay, how many of you will join me to pray? Oh, really, no hands. Okay, AJ, okay. We meet somewhere we pray in Penang. Okay, all right. What if tomorrow, I said, tomorrow I'm going to pray for you. We're going to pray that you're going to have a spiritual. You're going to have financial breakthrough. We're going to pray for you that you're going to have 10-time bonus this year. Who wants to be prayed for 10-time bonus? Also nobody else. Okay, our church is safe. Now, we all know that, okay, we got to be careful, all right? The Bible says that you got to watch out and guard over that. So as we begin this series called Unlimited, know this. With God, we know this scripture in Matthew that says that with man, all things are impossible. With God, all things are possible. Now, I want to rephrase that by saying with God, all things are unlimited. With man, all things are limited. Yes, should I repeat again? With God, all things are unlimited. With man, all things are limited. All right, so as we learn of the series today, let us know that God owns everything. And whatever that you know, whatever that you see, all belongs to God. But there's always this question that is, who is your God? Is Jesus really your God? Oh, very quiet already. What? So silent. Okay, now, who is really your God? Now, if there's only one test that I can ask you will be, what you worry the most every day of your life? What do you think about every day of your life? Would you be thinking about, how much you're going to earn this week? Am I going to have bonus this year? How's the company doing? Can I meet ends? Can I have income that puts food on the table? I'm going to pay my rent. I'm going to pay my car loan. I have children to pay for their studies. If this is in our mind, every day we are thinking about that, instead of calling out to God, we are like, money, where are you, money? Or you ask God, what do you worry about? Because it's like this, the more you worry, that means what occupied your mind and heart. If you worry about finances, finances were always in your mind, always in your heart. Yes? But when we talk about who is your God, is who take the place, the first place in your life. Who is in the throne of your life? Is it God or is it money? Real. It's very real. Okay? All the more we say God, all the more other things creep in. All right? So this is what we're going to look at, okay, as we learn about this series. Now, I also think about some of the things that when you have children, okay, now my two boys, they already started work. We don't need to worry much about paying, okay, their fees. Okay, so now I'm looking at Deborah. So Deborah, every day go to school. I say, Deborah, how much you need for your pocket money? I'm testing her, okay? Okay, I'm testing her. I said, okay, so she, 1 ringgit, 2 ringgit, 3 ringgit, okay, 1 ringgit, 2 ringgit, enough? Yeah, enough, okay, now. So I'm trying to teach her, okay, how she should use the money, how she spend, how much she save, and all those, all right? So that is just short term. Because at this age, she still do not know what it means to bank account, you know, all those she doesn't know, all right? Now, as she matured, we're going to teach her, okay, now. So if daddy were to give you this amount, how much would you spend and how much would you save? All right, so I'm going to manage that. All right, so when she gets a bit matured, but as we grow older, we're going to make investment. You're going to do all those things. Now, question for all of us will be, if you want to have not just short terms or long term like this in that sense, but would you want to know some of the eternal plan that God has? In other words, what are Bible principles, the biblical principles of finance? And all the more, when you think about that, then you understand the purpose of money. Then you manage better. All right? Now, so which means the goal of this series is such that our prayer for all of us here, all of you, that is you have a greater faith to obey God, knowing that God is faithful and He's our provider. Yes? Oh, quiet, huh? Is God our provider? Yes. Okay, now. So we're going to look at part one. Okay, we have four parts. First Kings, Second Kings. The first two from First Kings, the second two is from Second Kings, all right? So today I'm going to do part one, the book and the brook and the raven, all right? Next week, Casey will take that, the flour and the oil. This week, he's in Vietnam, okay? Now, he's coming back and he will do the second week. Next week, Mew and I will be away, okay, in Vietnam, all right? We also take a season of break to celebrate our 27th wedding anniversary. So pray for us, okay? All right, now, week three, we will be back. Okay, but that week three, I need to be in Philippines for a week, okay, for training, but I'll be back that weekend as well, all right? Now, then week four, Terrence, okay, who is a senior executive of our HSBC, all right? So you want to hear each of our stories. Would that be good for all of us to hear some finance story, okay? Now, let's look at the brook and the raven, okay? Part one, 1 Kings 17. We're going to look at 6 verses today, all right? Unlimited. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1 to verse 6. Now Elijah, the Tishbe in Gilead, said to Ahab, okay, Ahab is the king, the evil king during that time, as the Lord, the God of Israel lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the few years except at my word. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, live here and turn eastward and hide in the Kerith ravine east of the Jordan. All right, you will drink from the brook, and I have directed the ravens to supply you with food there. And he did what the Lord had told him. He went to Kerith ravine east of Jordan and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Let us pray. Father God, I commit all of us into your hands as we begin this new series on finances or stewardship. Help us to look at the biblical principles. Help us to look at you are God, our provider, and you are always faithful, okay, in doing so. I give thanks, ask the Holy Spirit to teach us, guide us. In Jesus' name I pray. Everyone say, amen. Now, Elijah. Who is Elijah? Elijah is a prophet, all right? Now, if you look, do a little bit of background, in 1 Kings 17, it was the first time mention of this person named Elijah. In other words, when you read the Bible, Elijah just appeared. Not much of history that the Bible talks about him, except for this Elijah, the Tishbite, from Tishbe in Gilead, all right, now. But then the name Elijah, it means my God is Yahweh, okay? My God is Yahweh. What does that mean? It means my God is Jehovah. In our layman term will be whenever we declare, who is your Lord? My Lord is Jesus, all right? So when we say who is our Lord, it means Jesus is, God is, and He always was, and He always will be. English word for is the word Lord, okay? In Hebrew word is the word Jehovah. Now, when we study about Lordship, as the people in those times, when they write, okay, the scripture as they write, when they come to write the name of God, they have to use a different pen. Pink color, okay. My name is pink. Okay, now, they will write the name of God. So, for God's soul, right? For God. So, God, they have to use another pen. They have another pen just to write the word God. And then, after that, change again. And then, they use the next pen. Because they treated the name of God so holy. They can't even speak the name of God. Because the moment you say unholy, All right? So they treated God, even his name, so holy, all right, in that sense. So here is Elijah declaring who God is, who he was, and will always be, all right? So here, Elijah spoke, okay, to King Ahab because to get his attention. Now, the background is such that Elijah, coming forward, he's a prophet, and he's going to challenge King Ahab. Why? Okay, before I unpack that, continue. Then he says that, as the Lord, the God of Israel lives. What is he trying to say? King Ahab had come to a place he worshipped all kinds of God, all kinds of idols. So when the prophet came, Elijah said, as the Lord, the God of Israel lives. That's what he means. There's only one God, no other God. Our God is the healer, he's the provider, he's the King of Kings. Not any other God that you worship. He's challenging King Ahab. Can you get the background right now? All right. Whom I serve. What's the meaning of serve here? Worship. He is the only one I serve. Just to tell you that every year, okay, every year in November normally the third week is the Thanksgiving day, okay, that was celebrated, especially US. But we want to capture that week is where we appreciate, okay, everyone that served in this house this year, all right? So I want to encourage all of you to serve. So as you serve, don't give up halfway, you know, you serve, suddenly give up, don't want to serve. So it's very challenging, okay, for our team, whether it's kids, usher, you know, worship, just continue, okay, serving the Lord. So on November the 17th, okay, we're going to appreciate, okay, everyone, okay, that serve, okay, in this house. So this is here that Elijah said, whom I serve. Alone, Jesus alone, or God alone, I serve. And then he continued to say, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word. What does that mean? So Elijah came, challenged King Ahab, no rain, no dew, not even dew, no rain in the next few years. One day, no rain, okay. 2 days, still okay. 3 days, still okay. One day, you do not take bath, okay? No, okay. Okay, someone say no, okay. That one will be, stay very far from me, don't come near me. 2 days, 3 days, not taking bath, okay. Nobody will show up in church already, okay, after 1 week. Okay, all right. What about few years? The next few years, no rain. Wow. Why do you not rain? Okay. Now, it's because, okay, he is challenging the God that Ahab worship, and that's none other than Baal. Baal is known as the God of the storm that controls, okay, the rain. So now Elijah came is to challenge, okay, King Ahab and his God, who is the God of the rain, okay, or the storm. All right. So who is the real God? Okay, that's what it means. Okay, now moving forward. Okay, Okay, let's move forward. Okay, now I have this big question. This big question, as we learn about Unlimited, the first story that we're going to talk about. As of the story of Elijah, and he pronounced drought, no rain for the next few years. What if economy downturn? What if in all those scenarios that they have, all right, lost job, okay, business fail, and all those, okay, in all those difficult circumstances that you have, how does God provide in spite of the most difficult circumstances? I believe that every one of us have our own story. But as we look at 1 Kings, the story of Elijah, 6 verses, we look at 3 ways. Okay, this is amazing how God provides in spite of the most difficult circumstances. Okay? All right, now, number one. God is able to provide in the most unlikely places. Do you have come to a place where it's just unlikely? This place, I don't know, man, how God is going to bless me here. It's just unlikely. Okay, now look at the scripture. How unlikely is for Elijah? God told him this. The word of the Lord came to him. He said, depart from here, turn eastward, hide yourself in the brook of Cherith, which is east of Jordan. Now, I don't know whether you have studied the map or geography, or you have been to Israel yourself, all right, to Jordan. Now, when God told Elijah, leave here, go turn eastward. You know what he mean by going eastward? You look at Malaysia. All of us are on the west side. West side is where all the happenings, Penang la, Ipoh la, Kuala Lumpur la, Damansara la, okay, all on the west coast. All happening, all the major city. But what if, hey, you go to one place, Gabriel, what's your mother's place, the hometown called what? Okay. Huh? The name of the town. Bacak, y'all know? Bacak, y'all know? I don't know. See, God relocate you, go to this town called Bacak. Apa ada? Okay, now, somewhere. You don't know. How am I going to prosper there? How God's going to provide? God instruct Elijah to turn eastward and hide yourself in the brook of Cherith, which is east of Jordan. Now, end of 2018, we were there, right? So we were in this place, Mount Nebo, that we the place where Moses looked at the promised land, and he did a place, okay, there's nothing there, all right? So I'm going to show you a map, okay, map. So it's Israel. This is the west coast. All the happenings are over here. Where is Tishbe? Here, right? Brook. Okay, Cherith Brook. Now, he was over here. Now, God instructed him to move eastward. This is west, this is east. So you got to move eastward. What is over here? Friends, it's nothing. Okay, we were there. We took a photo. This photo that I took, I point over this. This is the plain. The plane, okay? The plane over here, nothing, friend, nothing, nothing. You cannot build anything there. If you want to plant a papaya tree, the moment you put the seed there, the moment it died. Really, so hot, all right? Now, west is where provision is. If you move west, that's where job is, that's where food is, that's where prosperity is. But if you were to move east, it's very desolation. That means no one lives there. There's no life thing there. That's what it means, all right? Now, I also took another picture, okay, a panoramic, okay, that shows the plain, okay, of Jordan, all right? So that is the scenario, just to give you a picture. So God has instructed Elijah to move there, all right? Now, so to move there is just unlikely. And God provide the brook water for him to drink, all right? When we take bath. Now, I have few stories, but one story I want to tell you is this. Huh? Now, in 1999, that was my first overseas mission trip, okay? And to go in Cebu, this place, right? Now, it was in 1999. There are a group of us, students, 20 of us went. Then after that, we were divided into 2x2, all right? 2x2, so I have a partner with me that goes along. So this place that I went is in the, in the this region, Cebu, this area here, to this island called Camotes Island, all right? Now, nobody told us that there will be water rationing. Nobody told us that there will be only 2 hours of electricity per night. So we do our ministry, we go schools, we preach the gospel, people getting saved, and all those. We came back, and then we do debrief, right? So we share, both of us share, okay, when they need to do report, okay, who did we go, write down names, okay, people and all those. So after having a long talk and all those, it was already 10:30. So we say, hey, time to take bath. So both of us went down, okay, to take bath, all right? But there's no toilet. So there's tap lah. My friend started shampooing, you know I'm coming to, right? It's when shampooing. So I say, where to take bath? Then I go on the tap. Hey, no water. Hey, no water. No water. Hey, no water. But it's already... Let me help you. I went to kitchen somewhere. It was so dark because electricity was no longer on. I take the water. I said, you use lah. It was so dark. I don't know what water is that. Okay, now. Oh no. At least something lah. Okay now. I don't know whether you experience all those. Friend, Elijah was asked to go east, that nothing seems to happen, but God provided in an unlikely places. When I first came to Penang, I wanted to find job. So it means when I first came to Penang, I was studying. So for form five, from lower six, upper six, I was already working, giving tuitions and all those. So when I come to Penang, it was like, who would I know? Who I'm going to ask? So one day, I heard that the chancellery has job. So during the school break, so I went out to chancellery. I said, I heard there's job offered here. And they said, yeah. So the lady was saying that, yeah. Can you go and see the vice chancellor? I got panicked for a while. I just want to look for a temporary job as a tuition teacher. That one also need to get approval from vice chancellor. He said, no. The vice chancellor looking for a tuition teacher. Oh, so I get to teach the vice chancellor, USM vice chancellor's son. Then the following year, they look for me. I no time to talk about the second year one, but, but I get to teach both of the sons. So way before the vice chancellor come to the office, I'm already there at 7 a.m. to teach the son. So before vice chancellor, I'm the one inside the vice chancellor office. Okay. So God can provide in an unlikely places. Let me tell you. All right. Number two. God is able to provide in the most unexpected manner. What do I mean by that? So 1 Kings verse 4 says, you shall drink from the brook, and I commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. He went and lived by the brook of Cherith that is east of Jordan. Can you imagine the most unexpected manner? That's not just unlikely. How? But here is the most unexpected manner. And God sent raven. Do you know what is a raven? It's a what? It's more than a crow. No? It's more than crow. When you look at a crow, what does that mean? Well, dirty bird, all right? Dirty bird and all those unclean bird. But yet God used a raven. Okay, in the time of the Greek world, mythology, is where raven is associated with a symbol of bad luck. And yet God used raven. All right. Now, the raven is a scavenger, and they are ferocious. Okay, in that sense. Okay, they will eat. They will not give you food. How many of you sitting down and then the raven come, any bird come and give you food? Happy meal? No way, right? No way. Okay, now I want to show you. The only raven probably you know is the one in Maleficent. Yeah, that's the raven. Okay, raven. And I did a bit of search from the National Geography. It seems that the raven is one of the most intelligent bird that you may ever know. All right, now. So, talking about raven, for a raven to come and feed Elijah was just crazy. All right, now. Raven is the bird of prey. And that's where raven are also known as devourer. And there's also the word ravenous, okay, came about, which is gluttonous, okay? If you eat so greedily, okay, you are like the raven, ravenous, okay, scavenger. And it's so greedy that they will fight, okay, for their food. And just crazy. Just imagine, okay, for a bird like raven can be so intelligent. And this one is how this scientist, okay, by the name of Professor Byrne, you saw his name, right? Professor Byrne. Oh, yeah. He did a study on this bird and how he can, to see how this raven get his food. So he tied the meat on the rope, okay, or the string, and see how this raven able to take this meat. See how amazing is raven. And God used raven. And the first time raven was mentioned in the Bible was where Noah in his ark, he sent the first bird out, and it was raven. Well, now I'm thinking that all of you will go to the pet shop and have raven as your pet. Okay. That was the message I received. All right, now, I want to show you another bird, okay? Another bird. This is a seagull. I had this experience. It was scary, man. It was scary. All right, now, that was probably 4 years ago. I think 4 years ago, we make a trip to Australia, and we were on the way to 12 Apostles, all right? And we stopped by Geelong. Now, what happened in all those trips, we lunch pack, breakfast pack, make sandwiches and all those. So we drive from Melbourne and reach Geelong, and it was a nice jetty or dock, as I said. It was very nice. We parked there. I came out. There was the moment I want to enjoy my breakfast, you know, my breakfast or brunch. Okay, I took out that sandwich. I'll start eating, and then I walk. As I walk, I realized that there's another shadow. Somebody is following me. Shadow, you know. There's shadows. I walk. Then the shadow also move along, but it's not my shadow. Then to my shock, it was this flock of birds above me. Why? They want to eat my sandwich. So at that moment, I got a shock of my life. I run there, so they fly there, right? Then I quickly run to the car. Boom! Oh, these birds all chasing me. So Mio and my boys, David, Derek, still in the car. They saw me running, and this bird all chasing me. Until the last piece, I said, let's give a try. I unwind the window down. When I throw, at that short distance, the bird came. That's it. Now you imagine, will any bird bring you, okay, food? Well, that was just crazy, right? So God can supply in the most unexpected manner. That was a season that in my life, that was in 2005, all right? I was praying whether I should move on, okay? Whether to move to another nation, move another city and all those. Then I prayed. So I pray that whether Mio's job will continue or she also receive VR, right? So close shop, let's move, okay, to that sense. But it was just amazing for Mio, all right? The company actually shut down, released all the workers, all right, including Mio, all right, released everyone except the GM, and the clerk. Just to maintain the office with all the transaction that's taking place and all properties and all those development, right? So remain the GM so that any question need to ask can go to GM and the clerk to do all the paperwork. Okay, it's just to maintain the office small. So what happened was, I was praying, okay, so Mio will be released, let's move on. But it did not know. The main office in KL says, the GM says to the KL office is that if you want to remove everyone, you better remove me but keep Mio, because only Mio knew all the operation, nobody knew. So the head office said, okay, keep three of you. So in that season, three of them have nothing to do in office for like 1 whole year, 2 years. Just go to the office, nothing to do, no project. Just receive income, goyang kaki. All right, that was the period, was the determining year for us to whether stay or move. How many of you glad, okay, that we stay? Okay, all right, and now move on. All right, now third one. So number one, God is able to provide in the most unlikely places. You just can't imagine how God can still bless in the worst place that you ever be. All right, number two, God is able to provide in the most unexpected manner. Number three, God is able to provide in the most extravagant measure. Why do I say that? Verse 6, and ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning. Bread and meat in the evening. You got breakfast and you got dinner. And he drank from the brook. Now, you can imagine, I want you to imagine, the raven comes, he bring meat in the bread. He bring meat and bread in the evening. Next day, next morning, repeat, you know, the same thing. You bring meat in the bread. What is that for us? Char siu pao. bread, you know, bak pao. What pao you have? Wow! It bring you pao, man. You just cannot imagine how God could provide in that manner. Okay, extra vegan measure, things that are just unthinkable. Let me tell you, when you think about God, His providence, His generosity is just amazing. And Elijah get to eat bread and meat, okay, twice daily. Wow, the whole nation was in famine. The whole nation is in drought. Drought, that means no rain. If no rain means what? No plantation. No plantation, you cannot even care for the animals. Yeah. There's one season, AJ, if you remember, that was the year where joy and rain comes, all right? Joy and rain, Now, we were having a live group with Kanga and all those. Kanga said, Pastor, please pray for me. My hometown, no rain. My plants, my plantation cannot survive. If there's no rain, the cows and all those cannot survive. Will you pray for me, all right, for my father? They're all back in the village in Nepal. So I said, AJ, this is the best moment for you to pray because first time we hear there is joy and there is rain. So in our life group, that time both of you haven't arrived, joy and rain hasn't arrived yet. Okay, so we are just having in this life group. So I said, AJ, you pray. This is prophetic, man. So AJ pray, okay, for rain. The following week, AJ, Kanga messages, Pastor, stop praying, too much water, flood already. It's just funny, okay, it's just funny, right? But let me say this, God is able to provide in the most unlikely places, and unexpected manner, all the more in extra vegan measure. God provided morning and night, morning and evening, and it's just amazing. I can still tell you stories. New city days, my working time, okay. It's just amazing. I believe you have all your stories. So when you go back to your life group this week, share, okay, how God bless you in an expected manner, how God has blessed you in an extra vegan measure and all those, okay. Like AJ got another story about buying a car that's 80 ringgit, true or not? So when he got a car at 80 ringgit, he called me, Pastor, do you believe or not? I just bought a car, 80 ringgit. So say, oh, who else you told? I told my father. He said, I told my father. My father said, you bought a toy car. It's amazing, all right? No time to talk about it. You go back to your life group, you talk about it, all right? So as we end, I want to say this. God is very real. We serve and worship an amazing God. And He just do wonders, all right? So worship team comes back. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. Which means, the moment you think of something, God says, hey, too small. Come on, man. I'm God. Okay. Now, so God is able. Is God able? Yes. Able to do what? He able to do exceedingly abundantly. More than what we could think or what we could ask because our mind is just finite. With man, all things are limited. With God, all things are unlimited. That's our God. And another scripture that Genesis 22, Abraham said this at the moment when he wanted to sacrifice Isaac. Okay, this was the word Jehovah Jireh came about. The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. All right, so with a part one, talking about the brook and the raven. I want you to reflect, who do you worship? Elijah said, as long as the God of Israel live, in whom I serve, in whom I worship, He alone, God is, was, and always will be. And that is my God, one and only one. I will not serve any other gods, but God alone. He's my healer, He's my provider, He's the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. Amen. Let us pray. Shall we all stand? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, I want to commit all of us into your hands, even as we begin this series called Unlimited. Let it be known to us again and again, that echo into our heart and mind. Let us not forget who God is, the one that we worship. Just as Elijah said, as long as the God Israel lives, I will serve him. He's whom I serve. I will not let you go. Okay, I'm going to trust you. It's you, whom I worship. You are the one, is one amazing God. Okay, that you are God as faithful, you provide. And not, it's not our job, it's not our bank account, it's not about business, it's not about our salary, but it is you, oh God, who provide for every single one, okay? For me, my family, my business, my job, my schools, and so on. And you always come back to that one question, church, that is, who do you worship? And it's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Have a good amen.
Amen.
Lord, I pray and ask, bless each and every one of us here, that we put our trust in you and not anything else. In Jesus' name I pray. Everyone say,
amen.
Amen. Give Jesus another big hand. Yes.